It's Song Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Song Talk Radio. My name is Phil Emery, and my co-host, Neil Modi, is on assignment in Beijing tonight, so it's just going to be me. Don't forget to send your thoughts on this show or anything else we talk about to feedback@songtalk.ca. Now, we usually talk about the fidgety bits of songwriting, but we like to do a theme show every now and then, and since Neil's away, I thought I'd try something a little bit different. Now, I've been thinking about doing this topic for a while now, maybe as blog post for the Song Talk Radio website or my personal site, but I think this might be just the perfect place for it. This episode will be for people who play in bands, whether you're hoping to go pro or just serious about your hobby. It's all about how you can practice in a way that will make you and your band sound better, starting right away. Now, just to be clear, I didn't come up with any of these tips myself. They were taught to me by people far more experienced and knowledgeable than I was. And what a difference they made. I wasted a lot of time and effort before learning these things, so I'm hoping I can help others get better at playing in an ensemble. And yes, this will work for cover bands as well. So, 5 tips that will make your band sound better today. Number 1, turn the f*** down! If your ears are ringing at the end of your practice session, you are definitely playing too loud. That ringing? It's the hair cells in your ears being damaged, and sometimes for good. For some people, the damage is temporary. For others, it's a lifelong problem. Trust me, being at a party and not being able to hear the person next to you because you can't tune out the background noise is no fun. Now, it's easy to practice too loud or wind up there at the end of your practice session. The bass will turn up a bit, so the guitars turn up a bit, so the keys turn up a bit, so the drums play louder, and by the end, the singer can't hear a thing. In fact, neither can you. Playing loud might feel fun in the moment, but it tires your ears, making it impossible to hear tuning or timing issues. And that's what band practice is all about, sorting those things out. So, here's how to fix it. If you're playing with a drummer, start by having the drummer play at a medium, quiet level. And then bring in each instrument, one at a time, adjusting so that everyone can just hear each other, clearly. Now, even if you're playing heavy rock or metal, you need to keep your volumes down. Remember, intensity comes from what you play, not how loud you play it. Now, once you turn down the volume, something interesting will happen. You'll sound worse. That's because that's really how you sound. It's not masked any longer by loud volume. And that's great, because now you can fix it. Don't be surprised if you have to stop halfway through your practice and turn down again. People tend to get louder as time goes by. It takes time to adjust to this new world, but once you do, you will not go back. Number 2, practice like you'll perform. When I first started playing in bands, no idea what the hell we were doing, no mentors or guidance, we just made stuff up as we went along. In the early rehearsals, we'd have everyone stand in a circle, facing each other, amps next to each other, and it made sense. We could all see and hear each other and control our gear pretty easily. And in practice, after a while, we sounded really, really good. But every time we played live, total chaos. We couldn't hear each other, our timing was off, our tuning was off, and it wasn't fun for us and probably not the audience. Looking back, it makes sense. We set up completely differently than we would on stage when we were in rehearsal. So when we did hit the stage, we set up like you do when you're on the stage, and it was like playing in a totally different room with totally different people. So set up your rehearsals like you would a live show. Drums in the center, amps on either side, and face the way you would on stage. You'll learn to balance your levels and sound tighter. Best of all, you'll sound more cohesive during small shows without pro sound systems, and when you do get a sound check, you'll make his job a lot easier. Try experimenting. Have the guitarist on the stage left for one session and try on stage right next time. What works best for you and your band will be different, but take the time to figure it out. You'll be glad that you did. Number 3, play with dynamics. This one is easy and makes your band sound instantly better. A lot of live bands will sound kind of samey by the end of the night. Every song starts loud and stays loud. There's no variation or contrast or interest in the songs. Variation and contrast are one of the main pillars of songwriting. You know, some parts being loud and other parts being soft. Every section of every one of your songs should have its own dynamic map. Then you can figure out which part should be loud and which one should be quiet during rehearsal, or even better, write it down for each song. Think of your dynamics as a scale from 1 to 10, 1 being the quietest and number 10 being full-out balls-to-the-wall kind of thing. So your intro might be at, let's say, level 3. The first verse down at level 1, chorus number 1 at level 3. The second verse goes down to level 2, chorus number 2 at level 5, bridge at level 3. And then your final chorus, the big ending, maybe at 8 or 9. So you see there's sort of a built-in excitement with your song. You get the idea. Each section should have its own personality that's clear to the audience. This makes your performances a lot more interesting, engaging, and exciting to the audience. And since you'll be performing a number of your songs over the evening, you want to bring your audience along the ride for each one. Make sure that ride is an interesting one. This is an amazing effect. Just by doing this one thing, people will think you're a better band than you really are, and you'll sound like real pros. Try to save level 10 for a part of a song you really want to stand out. Remember, music is an art that exists in a time-based medium. It's all about what came before and what comes after each instant. Master that and you'll have people coming back over and over. Make use of the contrast between your song sections and you'll be surprised. A dynamic difference between, let's say, level 2 and a level 6 can sound huge. You don't always need to go to number 10. Once you get used to playing with dynamics, you'll find out it's super fun and adds a whole new dimension to your songs and performances. And it's an easy way to stand out from the pack. Most beginning bands, and let's be honest, even a few established ones never make use of this tool, and it shows. Number 4, overplaying. This is common and easy to fix. It's weird to stand on stage and not play anything, but when you go to a symphony concert, you'll see whole sections with their instruments in their laps, watching the score for when they need to come into play. I mean, if it's good enough for Mozart, it should be good enough for you. Now that you've brought dynamics into your performances, this is a perfect time to think about when you should and should not be playing. Let's say you play with two guitarists. Don't have them playing both the same thing the whole song. It makes it louder and kind of sloppier. Let's say one of your guitarists is playing a G chord on the third fret. The other one can either not be playing at all, great for verse 1 or for verse 2, allowing space for the vocals, or playing a different octave, or possibly in a different inversion of the chord, or even a counterpoint line to the vocals. Listen to a hit song and you'll hear all the parts an instrument can play. Sometimes it's just in the chorus, sometimes not till halfway through the song. Remember, you are there to showcase the song, not to show how awesome you can play. Nobody cares about that. For instance, jazz rhythm guitarists, when playing with a bass and a piano, will often play two or three note chords, usually featuring the third and maybe the other notes that make the chord special, like the seventh or the ninth. After all, the bass is already handling the root, and the piano is filling out the audio spectrum, so you usually don't need to do as much as you think. And when both guitarists do play together, maybe save it for a final chorus. It'll have a lot more impact. Number 5, don't waste time. Practice what needs to be practiced and then move on. Your practice sessions should be for getting your performances down, not learning the songs. That should be done on your own time. I know that almost never happens, but we can't hope for a better world. When I started playing in bands, we would play a song, then talk about the part of the song that needed to be fixed, and then we'd just play the whole song from start to finish over again, and over again, and over again. And needless to say, we didn't get very far very quickly. That was really dumb. Most of the song was fine. We didn't really need to spend time practicing stuff we already knew. So here's what to do. Play your song from start to finish once, then determine what parts are sloppy or need clarification to get it fixed. Now, when you do this, you might be surprised at how often people are playing the wrong chords or the wrong notes. Then, just work on that part that needs fixing. Let's say the bar bridge of your song needs work, maybe a little sloppy and people are kind of confused and just sort of play their way through and hope nobody notices. Yeah, I've done that. Don't play the whole song just to work in those 8 bars. Count off, start 2 bars before the bridge, play the whole bridge, then continue for 2 bars after, and stop. Now, did that fix it? What needed to be changed? Is it just a couple of bars within that bridge that needs to be fixed? Focus on what bars need to be worked on and just play those over and over again. 2 bars before the part in question and then 2 bars after. Now, once you've fixed that part and it's sounding great, Play those two bars before, the fixed section, two bars after, over and over and over again. You want your brain almost to be screaming in boredom. That will tell you that the new part is moving from the outer edges of your brain into the deeper parts, where it will stick around. There are plenty more ways to make your rehearsals much more effective, but I'll save those for another time. For now, if you just take these five steps, your band will sound better, feel better, and your audience will enjoy you more. And you're going to have a lot more fun doing it, too. So what practice tips have you come up with? Send us an email at feedback@songtalk.ca and we'll share your thoughts on the show. Looking for resources? You'll find links to the tools, books, and products we mention on our resources page at songtalk.ca. And wherever you are, whether in Toronto, Ontario, or tuning in from across the globe, you can join us for the Song Talk Radio Songwriters Meetup. A fantastic way to connect with fellow songwriters, share your work, and get valuable feedback, and also collaborate if you want to. Join us online via Zoom or in person in Toronto. Best of all, it's free. Visit songtalk.ca for all the details. If you're looking for more from us, you can go to neilmodi.com and find out more about Neil. And you can find out more about me at philemery.ca. If you'd like to support the show, you can support us at songtalk.ca/support. Throw us a buck or two. And while you're on songtalk.ca, don't forget to browse our archive of past episodes. You might even find out how you could be a guest on the show. Thanks for spending your time with us. And as always, keep on writing. Good night.